is, just who is a sinner? I mean, who is the sinner? Now, when you talk about getting saved, you know, a lot of folks say, well, what do I need to be saved from? Why do I need to be saved? Well, and the main idea, the main thought is this, that we need to see sinners get saved from their sin. That's exactly what happened to me and you. We got saved from our sin. We got saved because we're sinners. And throughout the Scripture, I mean, when you go into the, particularly the New Testament, the Bible tells us that is the intent and the point, the purpose of the gospel. Jesus said, I want you to go, and you know, he tells his disciples, go into all the world and carry the gospel. And the gospel news is that Jesus died, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again to save us from our sins. As a matter of fact, you know, when Jesus was born, and we all know this. I mean, you can flip back in your Bible, and we'll just go over it just for a second. Just think about this. But when the Lord the announcement of his birth, and that, you know, they're wondering what they're going to do about the birth of Jesus. I mean, where Joseph doesn't understand, Mary doesn't understand. But when Jesus comes into this world, hey, the angels announced that it would be his birth. The angels, there in chapter number 2, when the angels come and talk to the shepherds and they begin to tell them what's going to happen, well, it just tells them that, hey, unto you, in verse 11 of chapter 2, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What's he going to do? Well, the angel told Mary in chapter number 1 of Luke, he's going to be born and he's going to save his people from their sins. So the whole idea of salvation is that people need to be saved from sin. People need to be saved from sin. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it is difficult in getting a person to understand that they're a sinner. So that's what we want to talk about tonight, just who is. Who is a sinner? Take your Bible with me and look, if you will, and we're going to look in Romans chapter number 3. We're going to look in Romans chapter number 3 and just read a few verses here and get a little better understanding, clarification, and identification, if you will, about sinners. Chapter number 3, obviously, is a continuation in thought of chapter number 2 in the book of Romans. And Paul talks about the difference between the thinking of Jew and Gentile, and what the world thinks, and even what the particular Jewish idea is about a lot of these things, and he's, you know, they get all hung up on the ritual and the rites and the rules and the regulations of being a Jew. The Jewish people did. They got hung up on all those things, and particularly the idea of circumcision is mentioned a lot in chapter number 2. And Paul talks about those things. And he says, look, in chapter number 2, as he comes down to the end of it, in verse 28, says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And then he continues in chapter number 3. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? He says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and let every man be a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? And then Paul says in parentheses, I speak as a man. In other words, this is the way people talk. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? In other words, Paul's saying, look, if everybody thinks that I'm making a bunch of stuff up and what I'm saying is not true, and about the law, particularly if what I'm saying about the law is not true, he said, then why in the world am I being judged the way that I am if what I'm trying to get you to see is for the glory of God through what he's presented? He said, then why am I yet judged as a sinner? If I'm trying to get you to see something that, you know, people don't like, but yet it's the truth, in other words. And not, he says in verse number 8, as we be slanderously reported, as we some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Here's where we're getting to the point. Okay? Here's where we're getting to the point. Paul is saying, look, okay, there's a lot of folks saying, well, you know, you talk about the Jew, and you talk about, as he did in chapter number 1, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he said, well, what advantage is there? There is an advantage in being a Jew because of the way that the past history is. He says, but now I want you to know that are we better? Are we better? Are us Jewish people better than the Gentiles? No, that's what he's saying in verse number 9. He said, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Everybody, if you look at this, you'll see, hey, we're all under sin. As it is written in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, that they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us. I pray now, just open our hearts and our thoughts and our minds and our understanding to the ideas of the Scripture and to what we need to understand. And Lord, we'll just praise you, and we're just going to thank you for what you do tonight. How that you're going to speak to our hearts, how you're going to deal with us, how that we may help somebody else and show them the goodness of God and the salvation through Christ Jesus. And let us just give you praise and worship for that. Now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, we're going to say just who is a sinner. Well, first of all, I think we need to understand this. First of all, sin is a universal problem. There is nobody that's ever been born, that ever will be born, that does not have a sin nature. There's nobody outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Every other person that's born is a sinner. Sin is a universal problem. Guess what? There's sin in China just like there's sin in the good old USA. There's sin in Europe. There's sin in Africa. There's sin in South America. There's sin at the Arctic Pole. There's sin at the any point of the globe you want to go to. Hey, you'll find people. You'll find that people are sinners. Everybody's a sinner. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of folks that say, well, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know anything. Well, I may not. I may not know anything about some person, particularly somewhere in the deepest, dark heart of Africa. I may not know anything about, but I can guarantee you this. Hey, they're a sinner just like the rest of us. Right, I'm telling you, sin is a universal problem. First of all, let's just say this. It affects all men. You see what Paul says there in verse number 9? He said, are we better than they? We better than Jews? Jews better than Gentiles? Which one's better? Well, according to this, he says, no, there is nobody that is better than anybody else. Why? He said, because we have proved that both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. In other words, as he says in verse number 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, and I like how he adds this, no, not one. There's nobody that's righteous. Now, you'll see some folks that want to strut around and act like, think like that they're righteous. Oh, well, guess what I did today? I donated hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars to a good cause. Man, that's great. But you know how much righteousness that rings up on the cash register in heaven? Zero. It doesn't bring any righteousness to your account of sin before God. This sin that is a universal problem, sin is found in every one of us. Sin is there. And brother, sin affects all men. He said, there is none. I mean, there's just nobody. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's nobody that's here. It affects all men. Look at this. Don't you understand it? It don't just affect all men. It affects all minds. Everybody's mind is messed up. Amen. Outside of salvation, your mind is messed up. Look in verse number 11 and notice what he said. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know what that means? That means your mind's messed up. It has affected every mind that's ever been. Oh, preacher, you just don't know the thoughts that I'm thinking. No, and sometimes that's a good thing, isn't it? And it's a good thing y'all don't know the thoughts that I'm thinking sometimes. Because if we saw the thoughts, or if we knew the thoughts that each one of us were, you'd find out in a hurry, hey, that this is an absolute truth. There is none. There is nobody that has any kind of understanding. Nobody has any right kind of mindedness. And it's because of sin. There's nobody that's hunting and seeking after God. There's nobody. I mean, it's just absolutely an absolute fact. It's an undeniable fact. Hey, there's nobody that's out here hunting God. There's a lot of folks out there hunting sin. Let's get out there tonight. And you tell me there's a bunch driving around after the midnight hour tonight, and you stop them and pull them over in their automobile, and you say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm out hunting God tonight. No, I don't think you'd find any of that. You'll find out that's hunting liquor. They're hunting drugs. They're hunting some sort of illicit sexual contact. They're hunting some kind of gambling. They're hunting something that's going to satisfy the flesh. But there's nobody out there that's hunting God. You know why? Because their mind's been affected just like every man that's ever been born. Hey, this affects the mind. This affects the mind. The mind, if you'll remember, the Bible talks about over in the book of Genesis in chapter number 5, God looks down and he sees that the heart, the intent, the minds of men are on evil continually. Can I tell you, that's where we still are today. Oh, preacher, it's 2024 and we've got things figured out. Sure we do. Why do we have more drug addicts? Why do we have more drunks? Why do we have more liars and dope addicts and I mean everything you can categorize? Brother, why have we got more of them in 2024 than we've ever had before? You know why? Because of sin. Amen? Oh, we've got a societal problem, preacher. Yeah, we don't have a societal problem. We've got a sin problem. That's what the problem is today. It's a problem of sin. So, again, it affects all men. It affects all minds. Let me say this. It affects all merits. It affects everyone. What do you mean by that? Look what it says in verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You have nothing to say, pin a gold star on me, look what I did. There, everything that we do is unprofitable without the salvation of God in our lives. I mean, I don't care what you want to do. There is nothing that you do that has any merit before heaven. And look what he says. He said, they're all gone out of the way. Everybody that you, I don't care what they're doing. Do you know people will do some things sometimes, but they're doing it because they're trying to make a name. They're doing it because they're trying to make a dollar. They're doing it because they're trying to move up or move into a position or get higher on some ladder or some place in their life. They're doing, hey, and those merits are not the right merits before God. Sin is a universal problem. And sin affects a lot of things. And I want you to understand, more than anything, when you look at sin, and we talk about sin being a problem and sin being a universal problem, the fact is this: there are none of us that are seeking after God. And do you know that that is why God made man in the beginning, was so that he might have fellowship with us? And we might have fellowship with him. But do you know, in the Garden of Eden, when Eve partook of the forbidden fruit, Adam followed her lead, they fell into sin, and it broke the fellowship with God. Things were never the same after that. And because of that, sin affected every man. Now, just real quickly, to get you a little better understanding about some of this, just think about this. I want you to know. Now, here's the science. Every one of us that are born, we talk about, you know, the big deal today about genetics. Okay? And there's a whole lot of stuff about genetics. There's a few things I understand, a whole lot of don't. And you may be in the same boat, Lou. May be in that same vein of understanding. But I do know this. Do you know that every one of us in this room, when our mothers were carrying us, that we received our blood and our blood typing from our fathers? Your father gave you the kind of blood you got. He gave you the kind of blood that you've got. It's dependent upon who your father is. Now, again, I'm not claiming I know all this about the genetics. I'm just saying that's a scientific, medical fact. Anybody, any doctor, any nurse probably, anybody in the medical field can tell you that. You got your blood from your parents, and they got it from their parents and from your daddies, and it all descended down. So what does that mean? That means our blood and our blood type goes all the way back to Adam. And when Adam fell in sin, sin entered into the human race. And because of that, every person born after that had a sin nature. And somebody said, "Oh, preacher, we got you there. What about when Jesus was born?" Well, let me just tell you, something happened when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, do you remember? The Bible said that God chose Mary to be the vessel to carry him as a baby. But do you remember what it says? She said, when the angel came to her and said, "You're going to have a child. How can this be, since I have not known a man?" In other words, I've not had any kind of relationship with a man. How can this be? He said that the child that's going to be born of you, you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and God the Father is going to be the father of this baby. Where did Jesus get his blood? He got it from the Father in heaven. That's what makes him so different than me and you. That's why he had no sin in his life. Because where his blood came from, it's different than my blood and your blood. And because of that, we got a sin problem, but he never had one. Amen? I mean, he got a body just like the rest of us do. He came through the womb just like the rest of us do. I mean, he was born the same way the rest of us were, but his blood came from a different place. His blood is royal blood. His blood was heavenly blood. His blood was sacrificial blood that was sinless, untainted, unstained, and blemishless. Thank God for the blood. That's why you can sing those songs about of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Because his blood's different than my blood and your blood. And sin did not tinge his blood. But sin is in the coursing through the veins of your body, that blood you got, brother, it's sin cursed, okay? Every bit from Adam. Our lives are touched by sin. So first of all, sin's a universal problem, okay? Second of all, let's just look at this. We'll look a little further. I want you to notice that sin is the underlying problem. With everything that we've got, sin is the underlying problem. You know, you'll hear people a lot of times, they say, oh, I'll tell you, that drinking's going to send you to hell. I want you to know, it ain't drinking that's going to send you to hell. It ain't fornication, it ain't lying, it ain't stealing, it ain't gambling, it ain't none of that is going to send you to hell. What is it? It's because of what's causing that, and that is sin. As I say, sin is the underlying problem. Listen to what Paul says about this. He's talking about how that there's nobody that's good, nobody's doing right, nobody's doing good, no, not one. Look in verse number 13. He's talking about those that are not doing good, that's us. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. And he said, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Boy, you know any people like that? Yeah, that's us, isn't it? Let me just tell you, first of all, let's just say it's this, foul speaking. Sin will cause you to have foul speaking or a foul speech. It messes you up. What does he say? He said their throat is an open sepulcher. I mean, death is flowing out of a lot of people's mouths. Out of a lost, and I can tell you, when you was lost, you was just as bad, I was just as bad. Before the Lord saved us, brother, there was foulness that came out of our mouth. Listen to what he said. He said, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they've used deceit. What does that mean? That means you said some stuff, you tried to butter it, you tried to sweeten it, you tried to change it, but you are just full of lies. Deceitful, trying to trick somebody, trying to overcut, trying to do something, trying to say something to get the advantage. You're full of that foul speaking just like any other sin-riddled person. What do you say? I'm saying sin's behind that. Why do people lie? Why do they? He said, the poison of asps is in their lips. Snake venom in their lips. Why, you're just as sneaky and as slick and as sly as an old snake of some kind. That's what you are. You know why? Because sin's in there. That's why. Because you're a sinner. Amen? I mean, full of sin. I mean, I'm trying to get you to understand where we all have problems. And it's the problem of sin. Sin's a universal problem, but sin's the underlying problem. It causes some foul speaking from it. But not only does it cause that, it causes your feet to be spreading evil. Listen to what he says there beyond that. He says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Look in verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. You see that? Somebody that is a sinner, boy, they don't mind running and spreading evil. I mean, man, people that are wicked, that are evil, that are sinful, they love that stuff. Amen? Well, I don't know, preacher. Well, turn your TV on sometime. Take a good look. You can see it today. You can probably catch it on 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock news tonight. You'll see people are running their way, and they're just right in the middle of all the stuff that Satan loves to stir and keep stirred, and the yeah, 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 and the running to get in line with, and the hatred and the venom and the vile spewing that he can get, he's got it going on today. People hating other people, people speaking evil of other people, people just spewing stuff out. Hey, their speech is all fouled up. And their feet are swift to run into any evil endeavor. Amen? I mean, that's what he's saying. Look, their feet are ready to spread. And really, he says, you know what this kind of all boils down to is this. Look what he says in verse number 18. He says, Verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They have a fearlessness of standing before God. I've seen them stand before and say, hey, if there's a God, I don't believe in Him. I don't think He's right. I don't agree with Him. If there's a God, strike me down dead right now. And you know what? They're still standing. They may still be standing today. But one of these days, that fearlessness that they've got is absolutely going to be taken away. They're going to be awestruck. There's going to be fear. There's going to be, they ain't going to be running that proud mouth. Their knee will bow. And when God pronounces their condemnation, all they can say is, yay, Lord, I deserve this. Right? I'm talking about people have lost their fear of God today. You know, people lost their fear of God today. Well, I mean, there's people out here. I can remember when we were kids and things would happen. Boy, mamas and daddies would pull their kids off the street and they'd beat the tar out of them if they got involved in some of this stuff. And today they're out there backing them up. Well, little Junior and little, you know, Susie, they need to be. Yeah, God help you, mamas and daddies. Amen. I mean, really, you need to wake up and understand, hey, there needs to be some fear of God. People need to have some fear of God back. We don't have any fear anymore. We're not afraid. We don't believe. We don't think that there's a God. But, brother, one day He's going to show everybody who He is. Amen? I'm telling you, hey, when you realize what sin is doing, it ought to grip our hearts. It ought to say something to us. And you say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Yeah, I know. But it ought to say something to us that we've got people in our families. We've got friends that we love. We've got people we work with. We've got neighbors in our neighborhood. Hey, we've got these people. And, man, you've got that right there. They need to hear that sin is an underlying problem. And sin is going to be what gets them into hell. It ain't, you know, it's the fact that they are sinners. S-I-N-N-E-R-S, sinners. Amen? A long time ago, there was a great preacher named Jonathan Edwards. And this has been, I don't know what, in the 1800s, whatever it was, 1700s to 1800s, and he preached a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And my understanding is this. He was a man that would prepare his sermons and he would write them down on a piece of paper. He'd write down what he's going to say. Write down every word that he's going to say. And he would get up there. And he didn't necessarily preach like I do or like some other people that you know. He didn't. He got up there and he read those words off of that paper. That was the way he presented. And, you know, I don't know the exact presentation or his declaration and how he did, but he read those words that God gave him for that message about sinners in the hands of an angry God. The reports from the people were this, from the church, that while he was preaching that message, there would be men, women, boys, and girls that grabbed a hold of the pew. They began to see and began to feel and fear that they were about to fall off into hell itself. They grabbed a hold tightly of the pew. They grabbed a hold securely because they were fearful that any moment the floor would just open them up and swallow them. They got some fear of God in them. The Word of God put some fear of God in those people. And when they got the fear of God in them, hey, they responded and came to Christ for salvation. Now, that's been, like I say, a couple of hundred years ago, maybe, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, I pray that God would do the same thing today. Stir somebody's heart. Let us see that sin is a problem. We think that sin, you know what we do today? We rename it. Do you know what a drunk is? Well, they're just alcohol impaired. Well, hallelujah. We used to call them drunks, didn't we? I mean, everybody understood that. I'm not saying there's anything different about the semantics or whatever. Oh, well, we've got somebody that's, you know, we've got some fancy term for a lot of stuff. Brother, it's just plain old sin, okay? It's just plain old everyday sin. Amen. Oh, well, men and women just cohabitate. Hey, they're living in adultery. They're living in fornication. They're living in sin. Amen. I mean, we like to dress it and doll it and put, you know, get that old pig and put perfume on it. It's still a pig. Amen. No matter what you call it. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'd do the same thing when I was lost. I'd say, oh, well, you know, I got a problem with this. You're just a sinner. You need to get saved. Amen. That old preacher would get up there and tell me how rotten and stinking and dirty and filthy and nasty I was. And I didn't like it because I wanted to be respectable. I'm still a lost, sorry sinner headed for hell. You know what I needed? I needed Jesus to save me. Amen. Sin's the underlying problem. Okay, let's look at this. It's a universal problem. It's the underlying problem. But I want you to know this. It's an undeniable problem. There's not a person on the face of this earth that can deny the fact that they're sinners. Look what Paul writes here, okay? He says, now there's no fear of God before their eyes. They have no fear of God before them. Look in verse number 19. He says, now we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. First of all, I want you to understand this. Sin will show us that we are just standing guilty before God. Now, Paul begins to talk about the law. It's because all these folks are saying, oh, we want to live by the law. Paul said, you don't know what you're talking about. Because he says, the law, we know whatsoever thing the law says, it says to those that are under the law. Okay? Well, I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? You understand that. You're going to go out here on the highway and drive, and you'll see every once in a while there's a sign. And it says speed limit, 40 miles an hour. Do you know what that is? That's the law. The law says don't drive over 40, because if you do, you're breaking the law. You know what some of y'all think? Just like I do sometimes. Oh, that means everybody else but me. Right? You know what? Some of those fine gentlemen with them little lights on the top of their cars have pulled me over a few times. And guess what? I found out I wasn't so special after all. They sat over there and they said, let's write you a little love note, Mr. Camp. And they write on and say, have a good day. But yeah, but you was going over that limit, that law. Well, if that law is there, you got to live under that law, right? And that's what Paul is saying. He said, the law is given. We know that the law, well, okay, whatever it says to them that are under the law. If the law says don't, then don't. If the law says do, then do. He said that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. What does that mean? That means if you stand there and God said, well, I said don't do, you know, whatever, lie. Let's just pick lying. Don't lie. Well, but I just lied once. How many? Well, that's a lie. Okay, well, yeah, a lie is still a lie if it's one time or 100 times. It's still a lie, right? Amen. It doesn't matter about how. Did you break the law? Well, I just did it that one time. Well, that's all it takes is one time. You're a lawbreaker. The law says. And you know what that does? Did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Well, you know what that means? You're guilty. It means you're guilty. Everybody in this room that has broken any period of the law, any point of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. Amen? You remember we talked about here the other day about the rich young ruler that came before Jesus and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the law. Oh, yeah, I know the law. Honor your father and your mother. And don't steal and don't kill and don't, you know, all that stuff. Done every bit of that. Kept all that from my youth. Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you're missing. You know what it was? He said, you don't love God like you think you do. You know what that did? Pew! Made him guilty. Put the guilt right on him. Can I tell you tonight, if you and I have broken any point of those laws, we're guilty before God. Amen? Why? Because we're sinners. And can I tell you, that makes it an undeniable problem for every one of us. But I thought, yeah, well, that's what we get for thinking sometimes. God said, you broke it. You broke the law. You're guilty. You're going to stand guilty. Look at verse 20. He said, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Here we are, and now, not only we're guilty, we're standing guilty, our sin is glaring there before God. You see that? He said, by the deeds of the law, nobody's going to be justified. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. This makes my sin and your sin stand out. It glares in the sight of God. You're guilty, and it's a glaring guilt. I mean, it's like, you know, you ever see these people sometimes? I don't know when it was, but it's been probably during my lifetime. Now, when somebody says something on television, if you watch the news, they will say, you know, so-and-so is an accused killer. I mean, they walk in there, he's got a gun in his hand, but the gunpowder's on his fingers, and he's the only one within 100 miles of the whole situation, and there's a person laying dead on the floor, and they said, he's an accused killer. No, it looks like they got the right guy. I think that's him. Well, we can't say that for sure. Legally, we can't say. Can I tell you, our sin glares before God. He knows you're guilty. He knows you're wrong. Hey, Adam and Eve down there trying to hide from God in the garden. And God said, Adam, where are you? God knew where he was. He just wanted Adam to confess it. Adam said, well, we hid. Well, what you hiding for? We're naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, she done it. Amen. Ain't that us? Let's throw it off on somebody else. I didn't. And then, what about you, lady? She said, I want the serpent. He beguiled me. Right? We're always trying to throw it to somebody else. Can I tell you, your sin will glare like a shining light before God. You can try to pitch it, throw it, and get rid of it any way you want to. It's still your sin, and you're still guilty as you stand before God. That's what a sinner is, right? I mean, that's what we're looking at, right? We're looking at what is a sinner? A sinner is somebody that has a guilty standing, a glaring sin. And look what he says in verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got a shortfall of the glory before God. You're standing there. And you're trying. You remember that over? I used to remember at Lake Winnipesaukee. They had them little things that to get on this ride, and there's a little clown or something, and he's pointing his finger like this. You must be this tall before you can get on this ride. You remember being a little kid, buddy? I was a little kid, and I little. I know y'all don't believe that, but I was. I weighed about 50 pounds, maybe soaking wet. And anyway. Stretch. Am I tall enough, Mama? Nope, you ain't measuring up. Can I tell you that in our sin, we do not measure up before God? You stand guilty. Your sin's glaring, and you're falling short of the mark of God's glory. You ain't got it. That's why I say sin is an undeniable problem. Oh, I just about fuss with any of them. They say, well, you got to be this tall. Well, let me get this tall. I couldn't get there. I never could get there at that time, at that age, at that day. But I wanted to get there. I tried everything, tippy-toed and jumped and done everything. They said, you still ain't big enough. It made me mad. Amen? Did it make some of y'all mad? You just wasn't big enough. You didn't measure up. Can I tell you, when you stand before God as a sinner, you'll never measure up. Sinners just don't measure up. Boy, preacher, how are we going to make it? How are we going to get there? How in the world is this thing going to work out? Well, let me tell you, here's some good news. Sin is an unsolvable problem without Jesus. You can't solve it except when you have Jesus. Amen? Look in verse number 21 and 22. We jump from 20 to 23 with that, saying we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But look in verse number 21. He said, but now the righteousness of God, which is what we're all wanting, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Can I tell you this? This was even seen in the Old Testament. They saw that there was a way to be made righteous with God. And he says in verse number 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. What he's saying is, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, we all come up short of the glory of God. But we can all find the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. They saw it in the Old Testament. They were looking for Him. They were expecting Him. They were expected in the prophecy. They were expected in the belief. They believed that God was going to provide somebody. Didn't, isn't that what Abraham said? Isaac's there with him, and he says, my father, here's the wood, and here's the fire. But where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Exodus chapter number 12, Moses said, go get you a lamb, put up the lamb, and then he said, I want you to kill your lamb. And when you do, you take that blood and apply it to the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank God, I'm telling you, it's still the blood of Jesus that cleanses every man from his sin. I'm just trying to get you tonight to see who are sinners. And that's going to be important in soul winning because of this. You know what? I can't go out there and start saying, you're a sinner. You need to get straightened out. That's not my job. You know whose job that is? That's the Holy Ghost's job. You know what I can tell them? I can tell them the part about Jesus has saved me. And what He's done for me. And boy, He'll start working on their heart. And He'll let them know that they're a sinner. The Holy Ghost lets you know it better than anybody else. There's a lot of times I used to get mad at preachers. And you know what they're doing? They're preaching. They're preaching hell, hot, and they're preaching sin, black. And they're preaching, it seemed like, just directly at me. But you know what that was? That's the Holy Ghost saying, hey, dummy, listen up, that's you. And all the time, it was hitting me. It was hitting me. You know what I did finally? I got it straightened out between me and God. Amen? I got saved. And I realized that it was that blood that cleansed my sin. Can I tell you, hey, sinners are everywhere outside these doors, maybe some in this congregation tonight. They're everywhere. Thank God, aren't you glad that it's just like this? Sin is an unsolvable problem without Jesus. But when Jesus shows up, the sin problem can be changed. Sin can be changed. Paul says, we're looking for this righteousness. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look what he said in verse 24. Here's what happens. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the only place it is tonight, is in Him. It's in Him. Sin. Sin's a problem. Sinners are those that are committing sin. And sometimes, you know what? I just feel like an old rotten sinner sometimes, don't you? Paul said that it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. I'm at the head of the line. And boy, I'm saying, Paul, I think I took your place, buddy. I'm number one up there. Amen. But I'm glad Jesus came to save us. Aren't you? Glad he came. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight.